Blog Talk Radio.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
I have only one thing to say to the tax increases. Go ahead, make my day.
The crusade for freedom is your chance and mine to fight communism.
God bless you all.
Hello all, welcome to the show. This is the first one that I'm doing of the year. My guest tonight is slated to be John Ziegler. He's out in California, and I think he's traveling back home right now, so he's going to try to call us in between, so I'm just waiting on him to dial in. I want to say Happy New Year to everybody. It's been pretty much a good year so far, a lot of troubles, a lot of things going on in the world right now, a lot of things going on in everybody's life, I'm sure. I wish you peace and success throughout this whole year. Sorry for not doing more shows up to this point, but so many things have been going on, including a brief stint out in Congress, which was a great experience. You could email me and find out more, send a message to the site through Blog Talk Radio, / Everyday Radio. That's my new name. It used to be Taking Back America or Take Back America on Blog Talk Radio. It's now been expanded, transitioned, and some would say it seems a lot less partisan or whatever. I just did it because I want to be able to do more shows and different shows and not limit myself to who I bring to you and what topics I bring to my audience. And at the end of the day, that means more to me than a name or a title, something like that. So John is John Ziegler. He's a director. He's a filmmaker director. He was the guy at the head of the. Oh, okay, he's on the line right now. Hello, John.
Hello.
Hey, how are you, John? How are you doing this evening?
Okay.
Okay, perfect. I was just introducing a little bit and giving a little bit of background into who you are and what you do, but I'm sure you could do a better job than I can. So if you could please introduce yourself to my audience.
Okay, I'm John Ziegler, and I'm probably most well-known for my last documentary film, which was called Media Malpractice, How Obama Got Elected and Palin Was Targeted, which features an exclusive interview, probably the most extensive interview Sarah Palin ever did about the 2008 election. And I've appeared all over the world, really, on media outlets, discussing the media coverage of the 2008 election, and we just re-released the film on video on demand throughout the country a couple of months ago, and people can find out more about the film at www.howobamagotelected.com.
Wonderful. And once again, thank you for coming out. As you say, as you're saying, you're very busy. Obviously, you're doing a lot of different interviews, bringing this to a lot of different people. Tell us...
How long did you want to do this for, by the way?
Well, we're on now. It's going to be about 15 minutes ago.
I'm sorry?
We're on actually live now. It's going to be about a 15-minute interview.
That's fine. Okay.
Wonderful. So tell us how you decided to go into this, because obviously something with the media and exposing the media, but showing the media, kind of turning it on its head and putting a mirror in front of them, letting them see what they're actually doing is something a lot of people want to target. But what you did was... really kind of a shock and awe type of approach, at least for me, when I saw how Obama got elected on YouTube and stuff like that, and a lot of people did. Tell us exactly why you took this kind of approach, how you got into this whole project.
Well, like a lot of people, I was very outraged about what I saw during the 2008 campaign coverage, really way before Sarah Palin ever became involved. As a matter of fact, I bought the domain name HowObamaGotElected.com back in June of 2008, which was really even before Obama had officially clinched the Democratic nomination and well before Sarah Palin became a household name. And I just really was stunned, even though I'm as cynical as anybody, about the media coverage of that campaign. I was stunned just how unbelievably biased it was. For Obama, against Hillary Clinton. And then, of course, when Sarah Palin entered the fray, the same phenomenon occurred on steroids. And I believe that we've never seen an injustice like the coverage of her and Obama in that election, and I wanted to correct the historical record. So what I did was I began by interviewing Obama voters on Election Day about what they knew or thought they knew about the campaign. We backed it up in not one but two scientific polls and released a video on YouTube, which has been seen by over 2.5 million viewers, and did a lot of media regarding that. And then did the interview with Sarah Palin from her home in Alaska, which created even more media coverage. And I was on The View and all the cable news networks. And then we released the first version of the DVD on the Today Show back in early 2009 when I went at it with Matt Lauer. So it was quite an interesting ride, and it still continues today, still continuing the fight against this injustice and trying to make sure that it doesn't happen again in 2012.
Well, as I'm seeing it, as a lot of other people are seeing it, it's still at least the Palin bashing of it is still continuing, and I think the fawning over Obama, and it's something that, I mean, if I had the privilege of interviewing a president or a sitting high-ranking politician, I've interviewed a bunch of politicians myself. I know when Google Gaga over them, I never fawned over them. There's some of the ones I had on my show I support, I support their views and what they're doing, but I didn't go and just gush all over it. What I see when Obama gets interviewed or somebody like that, Harry Reid, Mitch Wilkes get interviewed, it's like a waterworks of, oh, I can't believe this is happening. I'm getting a chance to speak to you. I don't believe that's what the media's job is. I don't think you do either, obviously. But tell us the media approach towards Sarah Palin, why it's so virulent and malicious, and how did it manifest itself with the Tucson shootings?
Well, there's a lot there. I mean, I think it's interesting that we live in an era where Obama is praised universally by the news media and presumed to be so incredibly smart, while Sarah Palin is an idiot and doesn't have any experience, because, frankly, I think Sarah Palin's experience is, even today, at least as good as Barack Obama's was, certainly before he got elected president. And I think if you take somebody out of context or use as a microscopic standard for anything they say, you're going to find things that people would regret saying, especially when they're speaking without notes, although President Obama doesn't do that too often. But when he does, we've seen that he can certainly say things that are beyond idiotic. It's just that the news media ignores them because they don't fit the narrative. And as far as the Tucson shootings, I mean, as why it is that Sarah Palin elicits this, well, it was a perfect storm situation. You got to remember that she was a threat, the only real threat to Barack Obama's election, so that made her a threat to the news media because Obama was obviously the news media's candidate, and she was also good for ratings. So she fit their destroying her fit their agenda, and it was also good for their economic agenda. So when it fits both the political and economic agenda, look out. And because she's obviously a new figure, exciting figure, an attractive figure, a controversial figure, you know, every time they did a negative story about her, ratings went through the roof, and didn't matter if it was true or not, or relevant or not, that's what they were going to do. And it's continued on till today, because it still fits their economic and their political agenda. And as absurd as it was, that's what happened with the Tucson shooting. And I, unfortunately, was well aware that this was going to happen. In fact, I wrote to Sarah and Todd Palin about, say, 20 minutes after I heard of the shooting, and obviously it was a horrendous, horrific event. But as I thought about it and thought about the narrative that the media was going to try to create, it was very clear to me that they were going to try to somehow blame Sarah Palin. And I wrote to them warning them about this, and rather chillingly, really, Todd wrote back and said, we know. And that just tells you everything you need to know about the media agenda against Sarah Palin. And, of course, when she tried to defend herself, she got criticized for that, too. I mean, she, basically, the bottom line is she's held to a completely in totally different standard than Barack Obama has held to. And it's worse than a different standard. There is no standard because they move the goalposts constantly with her. And so she really can't win for losing with the news media. Now, fortunately, a large percentage of American people understand that, but it's not 100%, and that's frustrating.
I mean, for me, when I actually found out about it on Twitter, which I'm finding more and more of the news that I'm getting, starting to get from Twitter, and, you know, I'm a big sports fan, so sports trades and things like that. I find out more through Twitter than anything else because it's so hyper-real and hyper-real-time that the news just can't get to it. And when I did turn on to the news and start looking at it, first off, they had the whole Congresswoman Giffords is dead thing, which I think they really jumped the gun, and I think a whole news media, Fox News, CNN, everybody just did a horrible job of that. They should find out something that's such a big deal like that. Find that out before you say it. But the other thing that I wasn't even able to think about it before I was even able to pray for her and all the other victims, I had that same feeling that you just said, that who are they going to blame for this and what's the narrative? And within a couple hours, you saw the MSNBCs of the world and all those, all the political rankers start up. I've never seen anything like this before in my life. I don't know if you have.
I have not. Although, like I said, you could still see it coming. But we're living in uncharted territory, especially when it comes to Sarah Palin. There is no journalism anymore. They don't even try to pretend to be journalists anymore. It's all about achieving their own personal agendas, their economic agendas, their political agendas, because there's no repercussion anymore. And there's a lot of reasons for why that is. Fragmentation is a big part of the equation. That's one of the many reasons why I surprise people when I say I wish we could go back to the early 80s and really only have 5 or 6 TV channels, because at least then there was some substance to the news. There was some accountability. It was liberal, but at least it was substantive. And it certainly wasn't as vicious as it is now. And you know, I believe that reporting was a lot more credible back then. I think it's one of the many reasons why Ronald Reagan was able to survive when Ronald Reagan, I don't believe, would be able to survive today, and that's a very sad testament to where we are in this country.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of AOL? And I've seen this already from AOL, so I can kind of answer my own question from my standpoint, but what do you think of AOL purchasing Huffington Post? Because so far, the announcement was made on, I think, Sunday night or Monday morning, whatever it was. Today, I'm seeing things in the text already on Glenn Beck, and that I've never even seen Glenn Beck mentioned, except on the kind of like the thank you page or what you missed on TV last night or whatever it is after you send an email out. That's kind of like their thank you page or whatever. So that's the only time he's ever been there, but that's only when he was on O'Reilly or something like that. It never had an attack on him. Now it didn't even take him a full day and a half to do it. What do you think of this marriage? Is it a marriage of convenience because it's an agenda, or do you think this is a business decision?
Well, you know, I'm a little confused by the whole thing. I mean, AOL is one of the worst companies on the planet. Unfortunately, I've been stuck with an AOL email address because I got it back in 1999 and didn't want to change it. And, you know, it is literally one of the worst companies that has ever been created. And Arianna Huffington is literally one of the biggest frauds that has ever been perpetrated on the American people. I mean, it really stuns me what she's been able to pull off, not just, although this is certainly a big part of that fraud, not just the fact that she decided to change her politics approximately the age of 50 years old, or at least in her mid-40s, dramatically, not just slightly, but dramatically, and not just dramatically, but clearly because it was a career move. She had been basically being ignored as a Republican commentator. The only reason they had her on as a Republican commentator to begin with back in her first stage of political life was because of her accent. She made Republicans look bad and elitist, and that's why they put her on. And then she stopped getting television invites, and so she decided, you know what, I'm going to switch completely. Now, you could never do that in the reverse and get away with it. But it's not just that. You know, Tim Russert's wife wrote a book that included a very long chapter about what an absolute freak this woman is, what a crook she is, what a scoundrel she is, what bizarre beliefs she has in the realm of religion, you know, making Scientology look almost normal. And here she somehow is a media darling, and I just don't get it. And I certainly don't think AOL made a smart economic move. I mean, I would sell short on AOL stock in a heartbeat. I think it's disastrous for both, and I don't understand what they're getting for $315 million. I just don't really understand it. In fact, it's, you know, if it wasn't for the horrible reputation of AOL, I would think they must know something that I don't, but I don't think that they do. I think they're just idiots.
Well, I appreciate your clarity on that from your standpoint. Obviously, you've been dealing with the media for a long time. I mean, Sean Hannity declared during the election cycle that the media is dead, pointing to the fact that there was no fair and balanced coverage. And I'm going to say this from the Republican media as well, which, again, if it's media, okay, it's one thing. If you're opinionated, say you are opinionated, don't portray it as fact. But when you're a news or a news channel, and, again, it's not going to the opinion shows, but when it's the actual news, you don't screw with that, because that changes a person's whole perception. It could change a person's life to some degree, because if a person sees something happen, whether it's, you know, tsunami happened, something like that, if you misportray it or if you portray it incorrectly to fit your agenda, it changes a person's life and outlook on a lot of different things, and they just don't understand that. Again, that's just my personal view. Where do you think the media goes from here? Do you think that there's, because now we have the whole no-label stuff for the politics side, I don't think anything's going to happen with that. I think just a lot of has-beens and Democrats. But do you feel that the media, the news media, is going to get it right, seeing that the newspaper sales are going down? New York Times subscribership is half of what it was maybe 5-6 years ago, went from 2 million to 1 million, and it's now only teetering on being the newspaper record, and Wall Street Journal is now over 2 million active readers a day. Where do you think the news media goes from here?
Well, I'm not known for my optimism, so it won't surprise people who know me that I'm pessimistic about the future, because I don't see how you go back. You know, we're down a very slippery slope, and, you know, frankly, I just don't see how it's possible for us to go in the other direction. The inmates are running the asylum. Overnight television ratings have allowed TV networks to know exactly which stories get ratings and which don't, which is why all we get is celebrity-driven news now. That's all it is. Local news is a joke. Most of national news is quickly becoming a joke. People think that Access Hollywood and Extra and Entertainment Tonight and SNL and The Daily Show and The Colbert Report are actual news shows and organizations. The lines are going to continue to get blurrier and blurrier, and I just think it's going to get worse and worse, because I just don't see how you go back to being substantive when the people are not clamoring for it, because we don't live in a substantive society. We live in a country where most people are ignorant and or stupid, and to them, Lindsay Lohan being indicted is the biggest news story of the day today, by far, and unfortunately, you know, the news media is more than happy to let them pretend that that's actually true. So I think things are only going to get worse.
Well, again, I appreciate your candor and coming on my show and talking to my audience about it. Once again, your website is howobamagotelected.com and John Ziegler, Z-I-E-G-L-E-R, correct?
That's right, johnziegler.com, and you can find out all about the DVD and the video on demand release and all the videos and poll results, anything we put together at howobamagotelected.com or at mediamalpracticemovie.com.
And, of course, you go to my site. People can keep coming back to my site or on iTunes, wherever, see the show description. And your links are there as well for people to look at, and that's blogtalkradio.com/ everyday radio. And thank you once again for coming on, John.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
God bless you.